Welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Time now for a theater review with our theater critic, J. Wynn Russick. How are you doing, Judy?
Fine, thank you, Tom.
So we're going to talk about the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company. They do lots of stuff in the summer. In particular, there is stuff that they do outside, like this new production of A Midsummer Night's Dream. Of course, one of Shakespeare's most often produced plays. Anything different or unusual about this one? This is one that they have tackled in the past as well.
They have. This is their fourth Midsummer Night's Dream. It's the third one that they've done outdoors in the ruins of the Patapsco Female Institute. I have seen this play so many times I lost count after about 15. And I have seen it produced with settings that range from the Caribbean to a carnival. That was actually Chesapeake Shakespeare's 2011 production. What's distinctive about the current production is that Chesapeake Shakespeare and director Gerard Alex Taylor have set this in the period in which the play takes place, which is ancient Athens. And it is directed in a way that incorporates ancient Greek songs, songs sung in the ancient Greek, into the show itself. And it's very charming. I brought a sample of a song that's performed both at the beginning and the end of the production. So let's see how good your ancient Greek is, Tom.
All right, it's all Greek to me. That's one of the ancient Greek songs in Chesapeake Shakespeare's production of A Midsummer Night's Dream. So, Judy, this play includes fairies and royalties and royalty at least, you know, members of the royal stuff, young lovers, manual laborers, it's all over the place. So how well does Chesapeake Shakespeare handle these different types of characters?
They handle them pretty well, Tom. The four categories of characters each have their own story, and those stories become intertwined. The royals are Theseus, the Duke of Athens, and his bride-to-be, Hippolyta, Queen of the Amazons. And then there's also a king and queen of the fairy kingdom, Oberon and Titania. As in many productions, these four royal characters are played by just two actors. In this case, Michael Toperzer plays both Theseus and Oberon, and Alanna Michelle plays both Hippolyta and Titania, which suggests that rulers are rulers, whether mortal or fairies. The actors do very well with both of those roles. And then there are the two young couples whose romances get very mixed up. And finally, the laborers, or rude mechanicals, as they're called, a carpenter and a weaver and a tailor, and you get the idea. They are hoping to perform a play at Theseus's and Hippolyta's wedding. And there are other plot complications. Oberon and Titania have a rivalry going, and to get the upper hand, Oberon puts a spell on Titania.
Yep, that's famous spell.
Yes, he uses the nectar from an enchanted flower. I brought a clip of Michael Toperzer as Oberon describing how this is going to work, and he does a wonderful job with his speech. He acts out each of the animals you're going to hear him mention.
Having once this juice, I'll watch Titania when she is asleep, and drop the liquor of it in her eyes. The next thing she waking looks upon, be it on lion or bear or wolf or bull, on meddling monkey or on busy ape, she shall pursue it with the soul of love.
That's Michael Toperzer in Chesapeake Shakespeare's production of A Midsummer Night's Dream. So, Judy, this is, of course, one of Shakespeare's great comedies. Is this funny? I had to ask, is this production funny?
Well, it's a good question. It's difficult not to find humor in the play within a play that the mechanicals put on at the end. And this director definitely mines the humor out of that and gets some fresh laughs. In this play within a play, the lovers are talking and kissing through a chink in the wall. And the director has that chink turn out to be between the legs of the actor who is portraying the wall, which adds some sort of scatological and lewd humor. I want to single out Jose Guzman, who plays Bottom, the weaver whose head is transformed into the head of a donkey. He is the creature that bewitched Titania falls in love with, and it's a lot of fun to see him wiggling backwards when Titania works her magic on
him. Such
a
great character.
Oh, he is. He is. Yeah, yeah. I also want to give a shout out to Imani Turner, who plays Puck, the sprite who does Oberon's bidding. Turner is a student at the Baltimore School for the Arts, and his Puck is very comically full of himself. Mr. Turner is a very nimble performer. I hope to see more of him. The major mix-up of the young lovers is Puck's fault, and the two young men both end up besotted with the same woman, and the other woman, the other young woman, Hermia, ends up scorned. Puck sees this unintended mess as sport, and Oberon is not amused. I brought a clip of Nina Marti as Hermia, fed up with being picked on.
Aye, that way goes the game. Now I perceive that she hath made compare between our statures. She hath urged her height, and with her personage, her tall personage, her height, forsooth, she hath prevailed with him. And are you grown so high in his esteem, because I am so dwarfish and so low? How low am I, thou painted maypole? Speak, how low am I?
At Nina Marti in A Midsummer Night's Dream, this seems like a really great outdoor play, right? Chesapeake Shakespeare performs in this historic park in the ruins of the Patapsco Female Institute. They're in the backdrop. Do they have to have any additional scenery? They just use the natural environs.
Well, they could do that, but this production actually has more scenery than they usually use. Dan O'Brien designed the set and the lighting, and he has created two back walls that are painted with Greek columns for the court scenes, and then those walls open up and they're painted with trees for the forest scenes. I also want to mention the costumes designed by Heather C. Jackson. The men wear Greek tunics. Alana Michelle's costumes are especially lovely as Hippolyta. She's in a gold off-the-shoulder pleated gown, and as Titania, she's in a sage green halter gown with a dark green shimmery cape. And I want to give another bit of praise for the music in the show. There are live instrumental interludes between the scenes, guitar, violin, recorder, drum, tambourine, gong. It's a very nice touch, although I have to say at least one instrumentalist needed a bit more practice the night I was there.
All right, practice makes perfect. So, bottom line, Chesapeake Shakespeare, Midsummer Night's Dream, is it worth a trek to the woods?
Well, the director has made some very smart directorial choices, with one exception. He has turned Hermia's father into her mother, which doesn't quite work in this strict patriarchal society. But the role is well performed. Most of the roles are well performed. There is an occasional sing-songy performance. In Midsummer Night's Dream, like classic fairy tales, characters go into the woods and come out with their lives changed. This production will not change your life, but it's a very pleasant evening under the stars.
All right, good to hear. Chesapeake Shakespeare Company, their production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, is at the Patapsco Female Institute Historic Park over in Ellicott City. It's there through the end of the month, the 29th of July. So, Judy, next week we're going to sample some a little of this, a little of that.
Or a lot of this and a lot of that. Contemporary American Theater Festival in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. Six new or nearly new plays.
All right. Look forward to it. That's it for us today. We want to thank Eddie's of Roland Park. They provided lunch today. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features a variety of sandwiches and salads listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. Tomorrow, my guest is Dr. Brittany Cooper. She is a formidable and compelling Black woman intellectual. Her latest book is called Eloquent Rage, A Black Feminist Discovers Her Superpower. Plus, we're going to hear a performance by an incredibly gifted 17-year-old Chinese classical guitarist, Wenhong Quang. He is a major talent, and you will hear him play in Studio A tomorrow on Midday. Hope you can join us then. On behalf of the entire Midday team, thanks for listening. Here and Now, that's up next right after a break for the news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.